I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, everyone. We're back, and we're here to talk about the great Meatballs and Dasha. What an episode. We had a coup. Well, we had a coup discussion, and we had a coup in a way with Catherine stepping up to the plate. So with me today, we've got Tori, our empress.
Hello.
And we've got our other empress, Tatiana.
Oh, it's stuck this time. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, we'll do it. We're going there. And then, of course, we've got our revolutionary, Cody.
Hello, hello.
Hey. All right. Wow. This episode, I have to say, was one of the craziest that we've seen in terms of, I mean, just Catherine taking power in a very clever way. There's that word again. I just felt like she just was very brilliant how she went about doing this. So we'll go ahead. We'll dive in. Stay tuned until the end because we've got a special segment as well as our predictions. Let's just get right in. And let's talk about Sweden and the king. Tatiana, I see you smiling. What did you make of this king, Hugo?
It makes me feel like all the kings are the same, you know.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it made me feel like. But it surprised me. I didn't think that they were going to have so much in common and that it was going to go so well. But I also think that that was part of the king's ploy until they got down to negotiations, and then he was going to strike for St. Petersburg.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. And I almost think that that was the point. Like, we know, like, I say this every episode, that this is a satire. And I think that part of it was the point of what they're trying to say about people in power, specifically males in power, and how they do tend to act. Tori, what are your thoughts on all of this?
Yeah, I definitely agree. Like, they are parallels. They just have different names and rule different places. And it was just kind of like watching two kids run around on a play date. It was just like, okay. But I do think Tatiana is right. I think that was part of Hugo's plan to just kind of like play nice and then like casually slide St. Petersburg in there. Like, I don't really know if he thought he was going to get any pushback, honestly, but I knew that the whole time his plan was to just throw it in there to make sure he got his way with that one.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with both of you. I think that that was absolutely his plan, even though they are so similar. I just want to point out something that really bothered me, though, historically speaking. Hugo, I think they made him up because I don't know what year we're in exactly, but we're either with Frederick I of Sweden, who, you know, obviously he was the king between 1720 and 51. Or if we are in the 50s at this point, which I don't think we are, they're too young, but then we'd be with Adolf Frederick. So there's no Hugo, unless I'm missing a nickname here, but I tried to look it up as we were watching. Nothing came up as there being a Hugo of Sweden. So yeah, I mean, I had to point that out. Cody, what were some of your thoughts with this, you know, maybe fictitious king?
Well, when they were on their way, I was expecting it to go sour in a different way. I thought it was going to be like this noble, respectable king in a different land who was going to be like, oh, you're a horrible little brat. But then they were literally, it was like looking in a freaking mirror. But then I totally agree with what y'all are saying, is that I think it was part of Hugo's plot was to just like yes and him the whole time. And then, well, because I don't think he's a fool. I think he's aware of how Peter was going to be upon arrival. And so I think he was like, all right, yeah, we're just going to play ball until it's time to go. And then I actually liked that Peter was like, I'm sorry, what did you just ask for? It was like, he didn't know anything. He didn't care about anything else. But he said like the one thing that Peter was like, nah. That's right. Not going to happen.
yeah, absolutely. And I found it interesting. I know we've mentioned it was like they were looking at a mirror, one with Catherine, well, one with Hugo Peter, but Catherine and Agnes as well were very similar in the sense that they were both very, like, they come off as, well, Agnes came off as being highly intelligent, though also in a situation where she couldn't outwardly speak of what she actually knows. What I did find interesting, though, is that they had a lot of mention of this freedom of the press and how they were saying that in Sweden, they did allow their people to print things, and how for Agnes, in her opinion, it had backfired. So I just found all that interesting, and that we're circling back because one of the conversation pieces they had is that whatever gets printed first, that's what people are going to believe. And that's exactly what came back at the end and what Catherine pulled back out to make her point. Tori, what did you think of just this whole dynamic in general and how we ended up with Catherine cleverly devising a plan?
It was brilliant. And I think that the last episode, or even like the beginning of this episode, definitely put that fire underneath her butt that she needed. I don't think anybody is wrong with assuming that she was ill-prepared before this point. Like, she was, you're doing all this planning on how to kill the king, but I think that there was a lack of planning in terms of like how she was actually going to lead and what her leadership style was going to be. And I think that everybody kind of calling her out on it in their own subtle way kind of made her say, okay, I need to actually find ways that make me the great leader that I want to become and not just declare that I'm a great leader. And I think just her using her own ideologies, but also taking nuances from how things actually work is really playing in her favor, because even though it was her plan, I thought it was like really nice that, you know, she used the whole my husband said in a dream, or like in the middle of the night type of thing, to make it seem like it was his plan. And I think that's how she's winning everybody over, because she genuinely is learning. And we love a good character development. We love that. And so it was just really nice to see her actually take people's advice, pay attention to what's going on and not just her own plan, and use it to her advantage. And I think like even up into the final moments where she was just like using pieces from Agnes to aid her plan as well, in terms of like you said, whatever gets printed first is what people are going to believe. I think she's just always absorbing information now, like in this episode, to just make her this great leader that she wants to be. And so I was really happy with how this played out. I mean, Orlo wasn't, but I was.
Yeah. And the thing is that I think what we're really seeing in this particular episode is that Catherine is going from someone who is, she has been trying to fit in. Now she's learning how to lead and actually be the one to, you know, be the leader of this coup. And that was the whole thing, is that we had a lot of conversations with the general in this episode where he was saying, you know, you're not a leader, Catherine. I can't, even if you're the one who's like running this coup, I don't know that I can stand behind you, because no one is going to want you to be their leader. Tatiana, what did you make of their conversations and this whole evolution that we had with the way that Vlemitov was treating her in the beginning and not listening to her and just flirting with her, or, you know, doting on her words, which to him was super disrespectful. But Tatiana, what are your thoughts on what we saw?
I like that that Catherine tried to approach Vlemitov in like 9 million ways to get him to listen to her on not a sexual level, because he was so, I mean, he's been enthralled with her since the beginning. So, you know, it was the birthmark, it was the slap in the face, it was the, you know, okay, yes, I am plotting to kill the king, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But I really think the moment that he, at first, I think he was, you know, giving her good advice that he or anybody could turn on her at any moment, which I think she has to remember, because she speaks, not, I wouldn't say flippantly, but she does trust a lot of people with coming to them about this coup. But then once she displayed her skills, her negotiating skills between the two kings, I thought it was really good, like as proof to him that she could do this, because she failed, like as he said, the first time, and she had sea legs, and now she actually knows what she's talking about and she's taking everything into consideration. And that ride home, you know, I feel like he saw that in her, and it was kind of like the last ditch effort at feeling youthful, because that was the main point of his conversation as well, that he was like, why the hell not? You know, I'm getting old. I'm losing all these wars. I hate being called fatso and having to dance little ditties when people ask me to, you know, so why not do this? It's different.
Yeah. And the thing is that I agree with all of that, especially the point where he started seeing her differently. I felt like this whole entire show so far, he has seen her as an object, just a woman that he's doting on. That last ride in the car, or not car, carriage, that last ride, he was actually seeing her as an equal. And understanding, like, I think that it was really important that we heard him say that part of the reason he's so enthralled by her is her youth, because he no longer has that. And so we got just that one line. It really drove home the point of who he is and why he's acting the way that he does. And now we can see him grow and be part of this coup. Cody, did you think for any moment that he was going to leave the carriage and turn her in?
Maybe for a split second, but he is so, aside from being infatuated with her, he does like her. And she kind of played him really well with the whole, like, referring to be like, oh, like, I'm not going to call you fat. So like this, like, I actually respect you. And when he got out of the carriage, I honestly did not think he was going to go and say something to be detrimental to her. But I was like, where the hell is he going? Because like, he's not going to go to the other carriage and be like, I want to switch cars. And then he just asked for more vodka. And I was like, all right, there we go. It was pretty simple. But no, I didn't think he was going to betray her confidence, even though he had not officially been on board with her plans.
I was a little worried, but I kind of figured that this was going to be twisty. Tori, do you have thoughts on this too?
No, I actually thought that he was going to go to the other carriage and ask for them to switch. I didn't think that he was going to like betray her, but I thought that he didn't want to listen to it anymore. You know, some people are like, if I don't hear anything, I can't say that I heard it. So like, if somebody tries to come at me, like, I didn't hear anything type of thing. So I think that's what I thought he was going to do. Like, don't tell me anymore. I'm not going to say anything, but just don't involve me type of thing. But it was nice that he actually heard her out. And like you said, actually took the step to see her as a person and actually listen to what she's saying for like the first time. And we're in episode, what, 7, 8? yeah, it was
really,
it was nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So Tatiana, how about you? What did you think?
I mean, I agree with Tori. I mean, it's, I know it's a big step for him to see another woman as an equal, like culturally. I think that's a huge step. So the fact that he's doing that is like a step towards change. And I also think, you know, sometimes, not to say he's like super old or anything, but sometimes when you're older on the elderly level, either you are stuck in your ways and you're not going to change and you're like, this is how it should be, or you're old and you just say, I don't give a F and let's try it. And I think that's kind of, he's experienced so much loss and, you know, his life seems lackluster now to him that he's in that point of, I don't give a F, let's do it.
Yeah. And it was really heartbreaking, you know, going back to that line again, where he said that he was doing this because he no longer had his youth. I just think it spoke volumes about the pain he had been through, like you were saying, Tatiana, about how much hurt there was. And so it really made me see him in a different light, and it made me feel bad for him, and it made me actually like reminisce with him, even though I don't know his backstory, because I wonder now, like, what was this person like when he was young? Was there a love? Was there, you know, a life that he dreamed he was going to live? And now here he is, and he is presumably closer to the end of his life, obviously. But I don't want to call him old because but we're saying older. And so, you know, and in the 1700s, he would definitely be considered old. So just from that perspective, it's easier to feel bad for him. Let's kind of go back a little bit here to the moment where Catherine, Peter is about to go in and talk to Hugo. What I want to mention is specifically that scene with Catherine and Peter, where she knows that he's thinking of his father. And we had like earlier on, when Hugo and Peter were walking, we had a very telling scene where Peter literally said that he had a dream that no one could see him. His father was there. His father turns around. His father could not see him. So we're, even though Peter is this bad guy, it's, I was saying this last episode too on the show, that it's just, I'm finding it actually easier to understand Peter because he's such a rich character. I still don't like him, but I think he's very intriguing based on all this backstory that they're filtering in. But what I wanted to mention on top of that is this moment we got between Catherine and Peter where she already knows what he's thinking about. And she says, well, of course I know, I'm your wife. Tori, what do you think about this moment that we got between the two of them?
I loved it. I can't say that like I ship it because like you said, Peter is not my favorite, but it was just, it just really spoke to how far they've come in their relationship. Like where they are now and where they were in episode one, completely different marriage. Okay. And even if it is still very complex, even if it does involve other people, it is working for them. And they are finding ways to actually respect each other and show up for one another when it counts. It might not be in the bed, but it can be in the head. See? See what I did there?
That's good.
So
can I write that down?
Yes, we can use that. I just really liked how they're both paying attention to one another. Like even though sometimes Peter, his delivery is terrible all the time, but they're really trying to figure out what aids the other and what is going to help them be their best selves aside from the coup, because that's not thinking about the other person. But it was just a heartwarming moment because like you can obviously see that like Catherine has probably had her own family experiences. Even if she does have a loving relationship with her father, everybody knows what it's like to love your parent. And so if you know that love, you also probably know how devastating it could possibly be or is to lose your parent. And I think just realizing how important his father is to him just shows that like she really does care, even if she doesn't love him or anything like that. It just, I just loved this moment. Like I love when people can see people as people, even if they're not the best of friends or the best of lovers. So I enjoyed that little moment. Because nobody really checks on Peter. Like, nobody else talks about it with him, not even his best friend. So it's nice that he can kind of feel like he has someone in his corner that understands him. Because I think that's what drives a lot of people on the edge, is when you feel like you're not understood.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely agree with that. And that was a really, you know, that was a great way to put it too. Tatiana, what did you think of that scene?
I loved it. It was, I know a couple episodes back when Peter's sitting in his father's statue, I said that there's like a Peter spot in my heart. And so this definitely stroked that Peter spot because it was, you know, he, like Tori was saying, he wants to be understood. And the fact that she can be that for him, I mean, I feel like that's one of the roles as your partner that your partner has, is to understand you in those times where you feel like you are alone or you don't have anybody and you have like a decision to make or something. That's where your partner steps in and says, I will do this with you or for you, and I'll be behind you 100%. And that's exactly what she was. So she was like fulfilling her role as a wife figure, you know, for Peter. And I think that that gained respect in Peter's eyes for her as well. And I believe that he has more admiration for his wife.
Yeah. And I think, you know, what's worth mentioning too, is that ending where I think that the Peter at the beginning of the series would not have respected Catherine's decision to actually, you know, pretend that this was Peter in his dream. He probably would have been like, oh no, I didn't say that. What are you doing, wife? And like put a stop to it before she even had a chance. But now I think that he, you know, like Tatiana and Tori, like you're both saying, I think that he respects her a lot more, and that, you know, the ending we get with him saying, I, you know, thank you. I know I don't actually talk in my sleep. So he knew what she was doing. Cody, what did you think of all of this?
I'm into it. I think I said on our last show, like, I don't think that Catherine and Peter are going to ever be like that picturesque marriage that Catherine initially wanted in episode one, but there is definitely, it has evolved, and there's a respect, kind of like Tatiana just said, like she Peter would have been like, no, wife, shut up. But instead he trusts her. There is a trust now between the two of them that he, like, she was like, I have this plan. You spoke to, I mean, she kind of played him a little bit in that respect, but she was like, you were speaking in your, no, he did trust her. We find out later, he's like, I don't talk in my sleep. He was like, oh yes, I did say that in my sleep. And he trusts her there's a trust there. And I love this evolution of it. And, I like that they're getting along. I think it's good.
Absolutely. I know I said this in the last episode too, but I see them as loving each other in a different kind of way eventually. And I actually, with Peter, I don't think that Catherine, I think she's going to, not to get too prediction-y, but I don't think she's going to end up wanting to kill him. I think she'll still want to do the coup. Yeah. Like, she might take over, but, like, I don't know that she's going to be...
Someone else is going to take care of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think is going to be Gregor.
I think so, too.
He's having a hard time.
Yeah.
Let's talk...
real hard time.
Let's talk about Gregor, then, because that's a great segue. How about that bird?
Oh, my God.
Cody, what did you think of Gregor in general and that bird and everything he was doing that was so off the wall this episode?
We know that he is very jealous of the relationship that Peter and Georgina have, and it was getting better, and then he saw that he's more jealous. It's like he was jealous of Peter for having his wife, but now he's like jealous of his wife for having Peter in a weird way.
Yeah,
like he it's very toxic. And I'm sorry, I'm getting two different ideas mixed up, but I think with the bird, it was very almost symbolic of like their friendship. I think it's dead. Peter killed it. That, you know what I mean? Like and it goes back to like everything we've been saying the first few episodes, like, oh, like this court lives to make sure that Peter is happy. All they don't have it said all is blissful in the court of Peter or whatever. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, it's not. And I just think that oh my God, what is his name?
Gregor.
Where did it go?
Greg.
Oh, it is Greg. Oh my gosh, it's late. Greg, it's been a long day. Something's come, like today, like the end of this episode where he is not dressed up, he is not clean shaven.
Yeah.
It was kind of like a big old FU huzzah to him right there. And then he turns around and walks away. So Gregor is going to, something's coming from that in the next couple episodes. Gregor's going to really, like he's spinning, but he's going to snap.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's worth mentioning too, that we had a conversation between Leo and Gregor in the beginning.
Tori,
what did you make of that?
It was an awkward exchange at first. I was like, why? I was like, why are they talking? This is not going to result in anything well. But yeah, it was just, I'm still trying to get into Gregor's head. Honestly, like if we're being honest, none of these things, his conversation with Leo, the bird, the melons, like none of it really made sense to me. Like I didn't really understand what his actual issue is. I'm really not quite sure, only because it doesn't really seem like Georgina has like reestablished her position, really. It doesn't really look like that. It looks like he still kind of just leans on them, like Tatiana kind of brought up, that like parental mate, and maybe not even that anymore, just kind of like friends. And so it's confusing to me that he's so off the wall when things aren't really back to the way that they were before. Like you still pretty much have your wife. You don't have to worry about pleasing him because he's off doing his own thing. Everything was just like all of those three things was confusing. And I don't know. I know this doesn't answer the question about the conversation, but I was just kind of like, what is going on? What is going on?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. And I think that it was very confusing. I think that these two men were both in a really crappy place. And Leo obviously is more grounded than what we're seeing with Gregor, who's coming undone. Before we talk about Leo, though, Tatiana, what did you have anything you wanted to add about?
I was going to say, Gregor has been doing this for so much longer. than Leo. I don't know. I mean, I don't know Leo's love life, but I don't think that he's had to share share somebody that he's loved with somebody in such that has such an authority.
Yeah.
And Gregor has had to do it for so long. And I think what we're seeing is Gregor had his wife back for like a short amount of time. Peter was not sleeping with Georgina and did not want to sleep with her, like was rejecting her. And Gregor was so happy about that. So he had his wife back and he thought everything was going to be all bliss in the court of Peter, for real. Mm-hmm. But then Georgina was upset. Like she was in the bathtub and he was like, what's the matter? And she's like, our status is being taken away. And he was like, nah, well, I'm in good graces with the king. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. And she was like, yeah. And then I think that's the moment when he realized that she wants him. Like mm-hmm. she wants him. Yeah. She wants to talk to him. She wants to have sex with him. Like she wants all this stuff from him and she's not getting it. And I think that clicked. And I think this, it's so, the things that he's doing is weird, but I think we're like witnessing a person who's trying to be okay with it. And it's not working anymore. Like he can't be okay with it. Like he sees the bird and he's like, oh wow, you love that bird. You love it so much. I'm going to kill it. I'm going to give it to you because you love it. You know? And you're like, what? And then like the melons, he's like, oh, I like melons. So I'm going to have what I want because he wants his wife, but he can't do that. So he's going to go in the king's bed and eat 150 melons. So it's like, and then, you know, he's just doing things because I think we're seeing him trying to cope with it and it's just not working. It's just not yeah. working.
And he's, Gregor's kind of straddling a fine line. Mm-hmm. He's doing things that are bad, especially the bird, but he's doing it in a way that won't necessarily get him in trouble. The beard might, but I think he knows that he can kind of push it a little bit just because of where he stands with Peter. But before we run out of time here, let's just really fast talk about Leo, because we had this whole thing where Leo is now part of the coup. Cody, oof. What do you think about all this?
I think Mariel messed up by showing him all that stuff. That was the second she pulled that tassel thing, I was like,
I agree.
Girl, you royally effed up.
I agree.
And what's crazy is even just later that evening, Catherine was going to just tell him about it anyway. And I honest to God think that if Catherine told him first, it would have been cool. But I think Leo seeing that on his own, I think it's not innocent. I think he's looked at all of that and made his own connections and has his own new plot going on. And I think it was just all bad. And I think this is the F up that I was unfortunately waiting for Mariel to make. And it's the burn that Leo's gonna make on Catherine. And just quickly, since we're on Leo, the tree in his room dying, I think the second that tree is dead, Leo's gonna die.
Yeah. Ooh. I thought the same thing.
She was like, oh, your tree is dying. He's like, just a little. It's like, yes, like your love is just dying a little.
Yeah, exactly.
So
but there's
all
a-
I Oh, sorry.
Anyway, that was it. I got it out.
Cool. All I want to say really quickly about Leo, well, not just necessarily Leo, but the fact that she would have any kind of plans up on the wall. Anyone can walk in there. She probably has a million people serving her. Anyone. Like, it's not, it's very obvious, like, that there's a drape over something. So I just think that was dumb. Like, keep it in a locked container something. Or something.
Or a book under your bed or something.
Yeah.
That room that Ivan was in that no one knows about, that's where she should keep it.
Right.
Yeah.
But then somewhere. The aunt would see it even then.
Yeah.
Apparently these people aren't that curious.
Well, I did notice too that it was very, like, it was written in Russian. And so I know, like, obviously Peter would know Russian, but, and most of the people in the court would know Russian, but I don't
most
know.
Most of them can't read.
Well, my thought too is that in the royal palace in Russia, a lot of people spoke French, and that was the royal language. So, I mean, they knew Russian, but I'm just wondering if that was kind of like it specifically was written in Russian. I was like, okay, yeah, probably not. But Tori, what are your thoughts on Leo?
Like, I know y'all want me to be team Leo so bad, and I am ish. It's just, I don't know, like, I have not forgiven Leo since he did all that stuff with the printing press. I'm not gonna lie, like, we are not cool, we are beefing at this point. And like Cody said, I don't know about, first of all, Marielle is also getting on my nerves because I don't feel like it was her place to tell him.
Yeah.
And we already know she can't hold water. And this is your one time to redeem yourself for spilling secrets. And what'd you do? Spill more secrets. You spilled the secret. And so that bothered me. And I don't know. I think it's just be me. Like, once you only have one time to prove and show me who you are. And I feel like that printing press thing was the one time that he did. And to me, it just felt like emotional instability. And I just feel like one time, you know, Peter's going to come in and ask Catherine to like go to bed with him, and he's just going to be upset and start spilling the beans. I just don't trust it. I really don't trust it. And I don't think Leo is a bad guy. I just don't think that he's cut out for the fakeness, the lying, the smiling in your face. I just don't think that's him. And I think that like, it's going to come out. Like, it's just not going to work in anybody's favor, but I don't know. I just,
Tatiana, well, how about you? What do you think?
I mean, I love Leo, but I agree with Tori. Like, I don't think he's going to mean to do anything bad, but him knowing all of this, I think, is bad. I don't think he's a spy. I don't think, he's going to report to somebody that will get Catherine in trouble. I think it's going to be a thing where, like, Catherine's in trouble with something else and he's going to stand in for her honor and be like, I know everything. And then, you know, maybe take the blame or something for this whole coup. So I would be upset. And Mariel, she messed up. And she just can't hold a secret. And she's loose-lipped. And, maybe that's one of the things that got her in trouble. It's not just her father.
But she's a gossipy lady of the house.
Yeah, she knows everything. She knows everything. And it makes me wonder, like, does she really have, I think Cody, you said this last time, are all the ladies of the court really her enemy? Like, all of them? She doesn't have any other friends. They all are like, nah, you suck now.
Oh yeah. Like, because she's a servant, like, no one was like, oh, that used to be my homie. Like,
yeah. I mean, are people not talking to her because she's a servant, or are people not talking to her because she burned them in some way? Like, I feel like there's got to be somebody in the court that she still has somewhat of a relationship with. It's just not displayed because she is a servant.
Yeah.
I mean, she wouldn't even let Leo leave that letter on the bed without her trying to read it. Like, girl, that was not addressed to you. That already honestly brought me the wrong way, because it's honestly like, that's not your business.
Right.
And so for her to honestly like pry and pull the answer out of him and hold the letter up to the sunlight, I was like, girl, like, could you give it a rest? And then Tatiana, that just goes to your point. Like, was it your dad, or was a lot of it you? Are you the problem?
Yeah. And I mean, we don't know the full story either. We just know what the dad did. So I could see it being a situation where it did have a little bit to do with her and being gossipy. So, all right. I think that about wraps up our coverage. Just for the sake of time, let's jump to predictions with our 5 minutes that we have left. So.
Yeah, predictions.
Tori, what are your predictions?
I know I say this all the time, but this time we actually are coming to this season finale, and I feel like I'm just so confused on everything. Not confused, I know what's going on, but in terms of predictions, I never know which way something is going to go. I mean, we spent this whole episode in like Sweden, so I don't know what's going to happen. We don't even know what's happening in the court. I still think that by the end of this season that Catherine and Georgina are going to have an exchange of words of some sort, just because it does seem like at this point it's a fight for Peter's ear. So I think that's going to like reveal itself. I'm not quite sure, but even if it doesn't happen, I would like to see it happen. So I think that's like, I don't know. Gregor is going to do something dumb again. He's already tried to kill Peter once, so I don't really see him doing it again unless he has like an actual plan that he knows is going to work. So even if that means like being in cahoots with this coup, I don't know. I know that the disdain for Peter is there. I just don't see him trying to kill him again after seeing what happened the first time he tried. So I don't know. We're going to see something with his feelings in the next episode.
Awesome. And Tatiana, what are your predictions?
I think that Catherine is developing a soft spot for Peter, and they have a love, like you were saying, they kind of have like a love of their own that's coming to light. And I think that the coup, instead of thinking about how to kill him, I think it's just going to be her thinking how she can gain power. I think everybody else is still on the page of killing him, and she's slowly moving away from it. She's not necessarily a team player anymore, or I don't think ever has been. She kind of is like, hey, come with me, but I'm going to do what I want. So, you know, I don't see him dying. And I'm going to say that I think that Elizabeth is going to catch on that she is taking preventative measures to not get pregnant, because she's all up in her pregnant business. Oh, so yeah. I think she's going to catch on, and that's going to be a really interesting conversation and maybe make a wedge between Elizabeth and Catherine.
Mm. And Cody, what are your predictions?
Y'all kind of nailed them, to be honest. The whole thing with Leo, we kind of think that's going to play out negatively. Peter and Catherine are closer than I think they realize they are. I mean, I can still go back to the whole thing where my theory about Elizabeth actually being Peter's mom is my theory. That might play out. We have two more episodes. That might rear its ugly head, or maybe I'm just putting too much thought into this. But no, definitely Gregor's gonna do something. Georgina's gonna she's like being crazy but under the radar, so I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll see if she does something. I mean, she's Gregor's husband wife, so they're gonna blow up.
Yeah,
and it's gonna be a big old mess up in here.
I think that there's going to be a situation with Orlo and Catherine where they come to head, like they basically severely disagree. I think he is following her, like she is the leader. Part of me thinks he wants to be the emperor. That he's like, I really like Orlo as a character. He's my favorite still. And I still want to see him and Catherine together. Like, I'm still hoping that they do that. And you know,
I don't know. I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think that.
I'm still holding out hope.
Did we talk about how he's not wearing his glasses anymore? Did I miss that?
Yeah. We didn't specifically call it out.
Oh, no, I wasn't sure if maybe I missed you guys said it, but like, that's something I just wanted to point out, that he's different now.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a lot different. And I liked the fact that that Catherine basically tried to throw in his face what Valemtov was doing to her by, like, you know, giving him the, like, you know, compliments and just trying to, like,
and it made him all nervous.
Reversed it. That was good.
Yeah,
he was like, stop it, what are you talking about, stop it,
you dumb man.
So I'm really excited to see what we get the next two episodes. This about wraps up our show. Tori, where can everyone find you?
Yes, you guys can find me on Twitter at Tori with two E's, or on Instagram at Toxic Model. I'll probably be changing it soon.
And Tatiana, where can everyone find you?
You can find me at Tatiana Marisa on all social media platforms.
Awesome. And Cody, where can everyone find you?
I am on Twitter as Cody_Epp, but I'm not there very often. So go to my Instagram, and I am Cody Epp, CodyEpp.
Awesome. And you can find me on Twitter at Rach Goodman, or on my author Instagram account at Rachel Radner Author. Until tomorrow, we hope you all have a great night. We'll be back at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for episode 9. And then again at, I believe, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I think it's 7. It might be later, for the finale. All right. Well, have a great day, everyone.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.